Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. It's good to be back with you again. Man, I was here not too long ago, I think, wasn't I? Amen. Well, I appreciate Pastor Jack and Grace Fellowship of Georgetown holding these meetings every year. I believe that they're very important for the body of Christ and for not only those who are aspiring to move into ministry and areas of ministry, but for everybody in the body of Christ to understand how the fivefold ministry operates and the steps we took that moved us into the positions that we are all operating in today. Amen. I had a gentleman one time that I worked with years ago, and I was pastor in Georgia for 15 years. And this man, he worked in as a stock man in an area of a store. And he said, "You pastors have it made." He said, "All you'll have to do is sit behind a desk every day and, you know, just, you know, then preach on Sunday and that's it." I said, "Terry, any day you want, spend a day with me. And I'll give you $100 if you still have that same view." You know, there's a, one person said it like this. They said, "How do you spell gospel? W-O-R-K. There's a lot of labor that goes in to even putting conferences together. And the things, not to mention the things that you do on a day-to-day basis. And I've used this illustration many, many times that apostles shared with us guys when he first really began to get us together and train us. One thing he said that just really resonated with me, especially over the years, became more and more clear. In using the parable of the man that had a field and there's a treasure in that field. And the treasure equating with your gifts and the call of God on your life. And what Pastor said, he said, that treasure is your gift and it's a call on your life. But the field comes with it. And a lot of what you're hearing today and that you'll be hearing, some of it's going to be repetitive. Just because God seems to use a lot of the same things in people's lives that he raises up. The same principles, although the illustrations may be different, you know. God is using a lot of the same principles that he does to change our lives and raise us up as men and women of God. But I appreciate these meetings because they're invaluable and they're uplifting and they build our lives up, don't they? Amen. I got two amens out of that. The rest of y'all catch it later. Amen. Hopefully before you go home, right? Man. I believe that as Pastor Jim shared right off the bat, everybody's called. If you're a believer, and Pastor Jack touched on that earlier too, if you're a believer, then God's called you. And someone may ask, how does this series of messages or this type of conference pertain to me? Well, I believe that you're either called to a ministry, in the fivefold ministry, or you're called to serve somebody who serves in the ministry, whether it be directly or indirectly. Amen. What's that mean? If I'm not called to a fivefold ministry per se, I'm not called to the ministry, then I'm called as a believer to serve someone who is, whether it's indirectly. A person that's in a nursery does not serve per se directly, but they are serving the body of Christ nonetheless. Amen. So, and that's a lot of what we touch on with this. How, you know, what things we did, milestones that we ran into, and things we ran into that moved us into the positions that we have today, and that move us into our tomorrows. Amen. I believe God's doing some great things in your life, and he's doing some wonderful things in this ministry, both locally and worldwide. And we're excited about the steps ahead that are waiting on us. Amen. But I laid out a couple of things that have changed my life over the year. And I endeavor to believe that it'll change anybody's life who operates in the principles. Amen. One of the first things that's really when I received the Lord and coming out of a life of a wildlife, you know, I always tell people, you know where left field is? And they'll look at me and I say, you couldn't see me from there. I was way out there. I'd tell Pastor years ago, I was dumber than a rock. You know, the rocks will praise God. I wasn't praising God. And my life was destroyed without Christ. But when I received the Lord, I began to pursue the kingdom of God to the best I knew how. And that's where God takes us at. With the amount of revelation and light we have, amen, we are responsible to operate in and to work that level of revelation and light. Amen. There's five fundamentals that I really cut my teeth on after I got saved that have helped me greatly along the way. And those are five fundamentals that many of you operate in, and whether knowingly or unknowingly. And when the Lord laid on my heart back in, I guess this would have been 1992, when around when we first began, I think it was maybe a year after, 6 months after, we began, that the Lord began to deal on my heart to write a book for new believers. And we were busy. It was like, you know, when we started Grace Fellowship, it was like, I'd describe it like this. It was like having a 21-year-old child. You've got to have everything in place now. You know, it's not, you know, we didn't have time. Okay, we're going to grow this area, grow this. We're hitting the ground running. And so we were all busy. You know, we would meet maybe once in the morning, and then we wouldn't see each other for at least a day until the next breakfast we had together. And but there's been a lot accomplished, and the world's beginning to see it. Amen. You know, just on our spectrum, what we're doing. Praise God. That's exciting. Amen. But the five fundamentals that I've operated in over years is Bible, prayer, worship, fellowship, and witnessing. Those are five fundamentals I really cut my teeth on, begin to operate in. And I believe that those things help us balance our life out and keep our lives balanced in the things of God. Amen. Those areas, when they're pursued, I mean, we can know about them, but we've got to pursue them. When I'm spending time in the Word, time in prayer, time in fellowship with other believers, and time witnessing and worshiping God, these things change our lives. And some of these, you know, get overlooked in many people's lives. I would tend to say most people recognize the first two, Bible and prayer, but a lot of the others tend to get overlooked. Seems like to me, anyway, my observation over the years. But God wants fundamental principles in our lives to overflow, and the more we operate in fundamental principles to govern our lives, we grow solid, we grow strong. And that's really, you know, what we've pursued over the years, what our desire is to, you know, like they say, be all that you can be, right, in the army, amen? Well, we want to be all that we can be in God's kingdom, amen? In Acts chapter 6, we see seven people that God set aside to serve, and they started with service, and everybody's been touching on that. That's part of my notes as well, and I believe we'll probably hear all the way through today about serving, and that's why whether whatever capacity you're in, we need to have the heart to serve, amen? And There were seven people in Acts chapter 6 that were called to serve. They were called, like one person said, to wait on tables, but they were called to administrate areas of service in the church. And God didn't just call anybody out. He called people that were noted for wisdom, you know, and that had a character with them. And they were full of the Holy Spirit. Those are the people God pulled out to serve. He could have just gotten anybody out there. I remember before I got saved, we dealt in illegal pharmaceuticals. And one of our point people she was our connection, if you will, the middleman for the market. And one day she said something that shocked me and my friend both that were sitting there. She said, "You want to go to Sunday school tomorrow?" And we were like, "What? Go to Sunday school?" And she said, "I teach Sunday school." And I thought, man, she's got a hold of some bad drugs. She's on a bad trip or something. I said, "You teach Sunday school." I said, "This I've got to see." So we agreed to go with her. And I mean, we partied together, get high together. I mean, we were wild, you know. So we would we went and to her Sunday school the next day, and she was reading off the script, Sunday school script, at the particular denomination that she was a part of. And she's reading there. She came to this part about Stephen, and she said Stephen got stoned. And my friend and I looked at each other and we said, "This can't be all bad." Of course, we weren't thinking of stoned the way she was talking about stoned, right? So we said, "Well, it can't be bad. You know, he got stoned, we'll get stoned, you know." But something inside of me just didn't jive with that. You know what I mean? You just know deep down inside, this isn't right. Her operating that way in two type of lifestyles is not right. You know, even though your flesh bore witness with and it sounded good, you know, deep down inside it just wasn't good. Well, later on, thank God, God sent somebody along my path that set my mind straight before I accepted Christ, you know, to that God wants 100% of our lives and not just, 10 or 15%. Amen. Thank you for your enthusiasm on that point. Amen. Well, we never stop serving God no matter what level we've attained. Pastor Jack beautifully touched on that. You know, no matter what level we're at, we're still serving God. We're still serving one another. We're still serving the body of Christ no matter what level we attain to. Jesus said, and I think everybody that's been up here so far, Pastor Jim and Pastor Jack have touched on it. Jesus said, "He who aspires to be the greatest among you must be the servant of all." And so serving will never leave our lives. It should never leave our lives. I've met people say, you know, whose mentality has been, "Well, I've done my share of service, so I'm going to sit back now and let other people serve." Well, I don't believe that we ever attain to that, although our levels of service change. Are you with me? Levels of service. If you're in a business, your level of service will change in that business. You may start out digging ditches and be moved to a supervisor and then management. You may end up owning the company, depending on what we do, amen? Depending on how we operate, but we'll always be serving, amen? The next area is diligence. And I kind of touched on that earlier. It's in any area we're aspiring to in our lives, it takes diligence on our behalf. After I got saved, that's one thing I recognize. I have to be diligent about what I'm doing and about seeking God, about getting in the Word, about praying. And every time the church doors were open, I was there. And sometimes when the church doors weren't open, I was there. Amen. I mean, I didn't break in the church or something, you understand. But, you know, sometimes on unofficial days, you know, my mind goes back to this one particular day that I was sitting in the basement of the particular denomination that we were a part of. And by myself, nobody knew I was there. But God and the devil, and it's evident that before long that the devil knew I was there. And so I'm there. I'm in the basement, and on and off the day, I'm just worshiping God, you know, praying, getting in the Word, having a good old time, you know. And all of a sudden, this lady comes down there, and this has nothing to do with my message today, okay? But, you know, maybe you can, yeah, diligence. I was diligently seeking God. You're right, apparently. But I'm down there. I'm in the basement. I'm worshiping God, spending time with him, having a wonderful time. And this lady comes in. And I didn't know this lady from a bucket of paint. And she comes over to me, and she says, "I know who you are. You're Fields." I thought, hardy, har, har, the devil knows who I am. You know, now go out here. I'm worshiping God, right? Well, she comes over to me, and she slaps me in the face. And she said, "Turn the other one. I'll slap it too." And so I said, "Well, I didn't turn the other one." Okay, she done stepped over the line. There ain't turning my face to a devil. Okay. So I said, you goofy demon, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And so this guy comes down the stairway, and nobody knew I was there, grabs her and drags her out of the church, right? And they told me later, they said, "This lady was on the ground trying to pull your license plate off." The devil's goofy. I mean, but don't be surprised. I guess the moral of that story is, don't be surprised if the enemy tries to hinder you. Gloria. From your diligence, right? From your diligent pursuit. Amen. But we've got to be a people that are after God, seeking God, and pursuing the kingdom of God diligently. God said he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, Hebrews 11:6. Diligence brings rewards. Diligence brings increase. The diligent soul shall be made fat. You know, he said soul shall be made fat. Amen. You're safe. Amen. Diligence, I believe that diligence brings the anointing. If it's you're in the marketplace, diligence will bring an anointing for you in the marketplace. Whatever your occupation is in life, in ministry, diligence, working that area will bring the anointing in that area if we begin to work that area. And it takes action. It takes repetitive, constant action. I believe that's what diligence, a lot of what diligence is. It's that constant, repetitive action. It's pressing in when you don't feel like pressing in. It's coming to church when you don't feel like coming to church. It's getting in the Word when you don't feel like getting the Word. And especially then, amen. Some of the greatest things I've received over the years is when I didn't feel anything. Some of the greatest things I've seen God do in my life over the years, it's when I felt nothing. I may have felt about as anointed as a toad, but I've seen great things happen when I chose to be diligent, not go by my feelings, but go by faith. Amen. Diligence in seeking God. Diligence will bring the anointing. Diligence in studying the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." But he said, study to show yourself approved to God. It takes diligent study to show yourself approved, to bring approval in your life, that stamp of approval, if you will. It's acting and operating on every opportunity that presents itself. When I first got saved, I'm telling you what, I was into everything I could get in. If a door was open to serve, I was in it. If anything, I was overly occupied. As a pastor puts it, I'm at myself coming and going. I mean, I just stayed busy. I mean, if I wasn't at work, I was serving God in some capacity. And through that repetition, through working it, through acting on the Word of God, acting on the promptings that God would put in me, things begin to come into fruition. It works all the time. Actions, whenever opportunities present themselves, and even when they don't, that's what Paul told Timothy. He said, be instant in season and out of season. In other words, when it seems opportune and when it doesn't seem opportune, we need to be serving God. We need to be after God. So there were times that it didn't seem opportune, you know, and those were those are spontaneous times. One of the things, testimonies I often share about spontaneity, and I believe that's a forgotten ingredient in the church world today personally. Spontaneity, you know, being active. And I believe Pastor Jack touched on that earlier about spontaneity, in other words, being ready, being instant, being ready all the time to serve, to act on the Word of God, and to respond to the Holy Spirit. And one time, actually, when Jennifer and I were first married, we were on our honeymoon. And we went to St. Augustine, Florida. And we were not thinking of evangelizing anybody. I can assure you of that. We're just enjoying our honeymoon, minding our own business. And we went through this farm. It's called the Alligator Farm down there. Pastor Jack, did you get to go through that? You can get to go through that. He just went to St. Augustine. But you've been there, haven't you? So we went to his alligator farm, and it's a national tourist site. And they've got wildlife, all kinds of different things, lots of alligators and stuff around. So we're going through it, just enjoying ourselves. And I had this jersey on, and the front of the jersey says HSU, which is Holy Spirit University, below it, right? And anybody in Holy Spirit University today? Amen? You should all be. Amen? The tuition's free. It's higher education, right? So on the back, it says, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And I just threw it on because it's a comfortable jersey to wear. You know, we're walking around. And I hear this loud-pitched voice of this man. He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I thought, dear Lord Jesus. And so I'm, you know, we're walking on because they're a ways behind us, but they managed to catch up to us. And when they did, there's a couple, and actually they weren't married or anything. They were there on business. And she said, he's been trying to get the Holy Spirit for some time. I said, really? I thought, well, good luck with that. Amen. We're on our honeymoon. Y'all have a wonderful day. And we went on. You know, I'm not there to evangelize the park. And so we went on, but we got to be spontaneous whether the time presents itself or it does not, whether it's convenient or not. Amen. And so we went on through the park. We're walking through the park. And here comes a high-pitched voice again. Hey, preacher, do you cast out spirits of infirmity? And they're from here to the parking lot to me, right? I mean, and there's all kinds of people in between us. It's not like this blank, vacant park. All these people around me, I wanted to just keep on walking, you know, but the Holy Spirit just quickened me, as he always does. Amen. So I looked up and I said, yeah. He said, well, she's got one. I thought, wouldn't you like to be her about now? You know, everybody's like, oh, she's got a devil, you know. So they meander their way up to us again. And he says, she's had a breathing disorder for a number of years and spent all her money on doctors. She's gotten no better. She had a bag this big, I kid you not, this big, and it was full of medication. That bag was just medication for whatever issue she had with breathing. And so I said, well, let's pray. And I had no intention of praying. I cast out devils, I don't pray for them. Amen. So, you know, she closes, you know, they close her eyes, and I command the spirit that has gripped her life to come out of her, the spirit of infirmity to loose her. Well, it comes out, and she goes down. And there's a shade tree. I said she's got made in the shade, right? So there's this, you know, she hits the ground. I mean, there ain't no catchers or anything, man. She was just out. It's like a lightning bolt hit her. And so all these people, they're stepping over, and they're thinking, what in the world is going on with her? You know, did he shoot her? Did he hit her? What's going on? Everybody's kind of stepping out. Now they're making a beeline around us. And so after a moment, she comes to. And I said, well, what about it? How you doing? She said, I am totally free. She said, I can breathe freely now. I'm free today. Amen. And then he got filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. But that wasn't it. Now, this is our honeymoon, right? So we're at our room, getting ready to move our room because we wanted to stay a little bit longer. Okay? Say, look at your neighbor and say, spontaneity. Being spontaneous, instant, in season and out of season. Whether it's convenient or not, there's a lot of things we've encountered in our lives that we've done, and it's not been convenient at the time. Amen. But we did it anyway. The field comes with the treasure. Amen. And you got to mow that field to get the treasure. Amen. So we're moving our room. We didn't have Bibles, tracts, or anything like that laying out. We're just moving our stuff. They're moving our luggage. All our stuff is packed. We're not really talking about, you're just moving our stuff, you understand, to another block of rooms. So they move our stuff over, and we get to the next room, and there were three maids, and the first one looks up at me and says, "Pray for me that I'll be saved." Now, do you know that your life can convict somebody? That you're the light of the world? A city set on a hill? That your light is touching somebody out there? They're seeing that light. Your life is touching somebody's life. So she said, "Pray for me that I'll be saved." So I begin to pray. And really, this really hits on my, comes into my next point of obedience. It's imperative that we're obedient to the Holy Spirit at all times. Amen. So I begin to pray for us, lay leader to the Lord. And as we're praying, the gift of prophecy falls on me. Now, I've always encountered the gift of prophecy at church, right? You know, that's where I know now. We're in church, the gift of prophecy moves, God encourages his people. Awesome. And I'm in a hotel room on my honeymoon with my wife and three maids, and the gift of prophecy falls. And I'm like, that ain't God. You know, there's, you know what in the world? And this word comes up, a prophetic word comes up, and it's a prophecy. And I said, Lord, you can get me in trouble here. You know, you know, they're going to think I'm crazy, and it's going to confirm it. So, he wouldn't let me go. So, on that, so I went ahead and shared that word. I let it out. And the second maid begins to weep. And she's crying. She said, "That's for me. I've been backslidden away from God. And God just spoke through you to me, changed my life." The third maid's standing there, seemingly unmoved by the whole event. And, you know, we all part ways. And the third maid, she seemed like she was ready. "Just get me out of here. Let me out of here, and I'll be a happy camper." So she goes away. And I guess about 6 weeks later, we receive a letter in the mail when we had come back to Lexington at that time, received a letter in the mail from that third maid. And she said, "That day in the hotel room changed my life forever." She said, right after that, I went and got born again. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm plugged into a full gospel church over here." Can you give them some praise? We're talking about some spontaneity here, right? We're talking about your life changing somewhere, someone else's life. You're impacting people, whether we know it or not. Amen. So spontaneity does play a great factor in the obedience factor that's coupled in with that. Obedience is one of the greatest factors to move into. I mean, if you really want to obey God, pursue God's kingdom, lift your hand up when it's when I'm about 5 or 10 minutes away, if you would, Pastor Jack. Amen. But I'm 5 minutes from halfway. Amen. Pray and obey. This is something Young Gi Cho said years ago. Young Gi Cho, the pastor of one of the largest churches in the world. I guess right now they have around 800,000 active members or so. I mean, that's a lot of people, right? And this is active members too. This isn't people that just come to church. They're active members of his church. But when they ask him for the reason for his success, he said simply, "I pray and I obey." And I'm sure if we could all sum up the ingredients for success and moving in to any area of ministry, it is that, praying and obeying, you know, seeking God, finding out what God wants to do in your life and doing it. Amen. I remember when some of the steps of obedience and when God first really began to deal with me in stepping out different areas. One time I was sitting on a bench, had just gotten saved. I'm sitting on a bench and God begins to impress on me to share this gospel, the gospel, or tell this, I shouldn't say share the gospel because I don't know how, but tell this total stranger about Jesus. I didn't know this man from, I'd never seen him before. And the Lord's not letting me go. I need to tell this man about Jesus, and he's going to think I'm crazy. And God wouldn't let me go. I was getting ready to get up, and I said, if I get up and leave, then I have disobeyed God. I've disobeyed a direction from God. And so I told the man next to me about the Lord, you know, what he'd done in my life. Now, he didn't repent or give his life to the Lord or anything, but I obeyed God. What do I mean by that? Sometimes you can obey God and it doesn't seem like there's any result from your obedience to God. Think of Jeremiah. Jeremiah preached his whole ministry and there's no record of anybody ever repenting. How's that for a track record? You know, you spent your whole, no wonder he wrote Lamentations. I mean, you spent your whole ministry preaching and declaring what God's saying and nobody's changing. They're just sitting there going, you know, I mean, not and coming against him, you know, but he kept on doing it and he was faithful to do what God told him to do. And that brought success in his life. I believe that'll bring success in our lives. Amen. Being importunate and an opportunist. Do what he says. In other words, I like the Nike commercial, just do it. You know, whether you feel like it or you don't feel like it, just do it. I operated in the realm of obedience. When I first got saved, I began to pursue God, begin to seek God, pray consistently, go to church, do what you're supposed to do. Amen? Just because it's right. Do what's right just because it's right. You know, we don't live, the day and hour we live in is a lot different than that, isn't it? I mean, we should do what is right just because it's right. Whether it feels right or not, whether it is user-friendly or not, we should do what is right. But we live in seems like a different day and hour today where there's not as much conviction in the lives of people. Amen. Well, as I begin to pursue God, I picked up a Kenneth E. Hagin book. It's called The Holy Spirit and His Gifts. I highly recommend it. It's actually a manual by Kenneth E. Hagin. It's one of his Bible school manuals. And as I began to read it about the gifts of the Spirit, I discovered that I had already operated in 7 of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And what was it? I didn't even know what they were. But I had already operated them when Kenneth E. Hagin was breaking them down and describing them. I said, well, I've done that, and I've done that. That's happened. God did that in me. God did then that in me. Well, what happened there? It was the obedience factor. It was the faith factor that it's a matter of obeying God and what he is telling you to do. Do it when he tells you to do. Do it how he tells you to do it. Amen. Obey the Lord consistently. Romans 1:5 says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship to obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. In other words, we're called to the obedience that, one translation says, the obedience that comes by faith. And I like that. I believe obedience does come by faith. People that are in unbelief aren't willing to obey God. They're not going to walk in obedience to God. Is that my cue? Amen. But it's it. Diving. Amen. People that are willing to obey God, full of faith, you're going to obey God. And when you spend time with the Lord, obedience is overflow. I mean, you find yourself quicker to obey. Amen. Prompt obedience. Isaiah said, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Amen. So as we're willing and we're obedient, we're going to benefit from our obedience and our willingness to obey God. Amen. Sow the seed of obedience. Some harvest of our obedience may be delayed, but that doesn't mean it's not en route. Say, I'm en route. You're en route. You're en route to blessings. You're en route to victory. You're en route to great things in life. Amen. Always remember that. You're en route. You may not see it in front of you. It may not feel like it's there, but recognize you're en route when you're driving somewhere or you're en route to somewhere. If you're on an airplane, you look out the window of the airplane, you can't tell where you're at. Oh, there's a sign. No, there's no signs there. You're trusting that the pilot knows where he's going, right? Come on. You know that the pilot knows where he's going. You're in subjection to that pilot. The Holy Spirit is your pilot. Amen? God has placed men and women in the body of Christ who are people of wisdom that are also like a pilot in your life. Amen? They help guide and direct our lives. Amen? They help mentor us. They help deposit things into our lives that benefit us. It took Noah 120 years to build the ark amidst mockery and ridicule that he obeyed, and the rest is history. 100 years building an ark. No rain. It had never rained before. From word study, there's no sign that it ever rained before that point. But yet, he obeyed God and in the face of what seemed was impossible. Amen. Also, obey and act on specific direction. I believe that this is an important factor in our lives, and we all bring this out in one way or another. Most people are guided by vague and general directions, but God has specific directions for our lives and wants us guided by specific directions as well. We have a general rule of thumb, all-sufficient rule of thumb, which is the Bible. I call it the owner's manual. Amen. It's what we guide our lives by. Amen. It's the universal conviction and all-sufficient rule of thumb for our lives. It's the charter course for our lives. We act on the Word. We study with the Word. That's why we study the Word, so that we'll know what God's doing. When the Holy Spirit begins to move and you know the Word of God, then you can balance it out with the Word. You can say, okay, this is solidified. It encourages obedience in your life to study the Word of God. Amen. Like one person told Kenneth Hagin, he said, since we're led by the Spirit now, we have no use for the Word of God. We don't have any use for the Word of God because we're led by the Spirit, and the Spirit leads us into all truth. And Kenneth Hagin's reply was, yes, but how are you going to confirm the truth except by the Word of God? And this is very true in our lives. You know, always let the truth confirm what... Let the Word of God confirm what the Spirit of God is telling you. Amen? You know, there's too many people that preach supposition rather than the Word of God. Amen? They preach what they think the Word says, or what I call the gospel according to gossip. You know what that is? What somebody said, the Word says. He said, she said, the Bible says this. You know, conviction of Scripture and conviction from the Holy Spirit's guidance in our lives leads to consecration before God. There are both universal conviction and personal conviction. The Bible brings universal conviction, but the Holy Spirit will bring into your life a personal conviction. In other words, things that He's leading you to do that I can't go to the Scripture, you know, and show you. You know, you shall surely wear white. Right, that's a personal conviction, right? You shall wear white clothes, you know. That's a personal conviction for Pastor Philip, right? Pastor Philip wouldn't go up to somebody else and say, you shall surely wear white. Now, if they got convicted of that, that's a different story, right? A number of years ago, 26 years ago, actually, the Lord began to deal with me. I don't want you to drink any more soda pop. Now, people around me, we were at another church then, and there weren't people walking around really talking about stuff like that. You know, God, the Holy Spirit led me not to drink soda pop or, you know, this, that, and the other. I said, God, I don't want to be goofy or flaky here, and I need some clarity and confirmation on this. And furthermore, I don't want to do something that I have no power to complete. Are you with me here? See, you can step out on something then and find you have no power to complete that. Jesus said, anybody that builds a house or builds a building, and you start building that tower, and then you find out you don't have enough material or manpower to complete it, people are going to ridicule you. And it's the same way in our lives with a personal conviction. I mean, I jump on something somebody else does because it was good for them, it may sink my boat, so to speak. It may cause shipwreck in my life. One man said at ORU, he heard a message, and the Lord, during a meeting, the Lord prompted him to give his car into the ministry. And so he gives his car into ministry. Well, in about a week, a business owner gives him a brand new Cadillac. Praise God. Amen. Well, another guy saw what he did. Another student saw what he did, and he gave his car away, and he was walking for a long time. What is it? It's allow God to speak to you allow God to lead you at your pace. Don't strip the gears. Now, listen to what I'm saying. At the same time, recognize if you want to be healthy spiritually, you've got to stretch sometimes, don't you? It's better to stretch out and not get muscle pain later, right? Not traumatize your muscles. Stretch out. So God's going to bring you into areas where you're stretching out, right? At the same time, you've got a pace. There's a pace in your life. There's a pace in my life. I've got to go by my pace. I can't go at Pastor Jack's pace or Pastor Callahan's pace. Can I put something in there? In the years I've known Pastor Callahan, I don't think I've seen him as busy as he is now. And he has no signs of slowing down, praise God. That's an example there, praise God. How are you, 45 now? Yeah, about 45 years old, amen. Amen. But I mean, just moving strong. And that's an example that I love seeing and following. And it's exciting. I mean, just worldwide in the vision, it doesn't decrease. He just keeps on moving into greater vision, greater things. It's exciting. Amen. The Holy Spirit will give you specific instructions and personal convictions. As I said, back then, the Lord began to deal with me about not drinking soda pop. And people are drinking soda pop. I enjoyed soda pop, Mountain Dew, Coca-Cola. Man, my refrigerator was stocked with it. I enjoyed it. Now, I didn't lust after Mountain Dew and Coca-Cola, but I really thoroughly enjoyed it. Okay? And so the Lord kept on bringing this up. I said, Lord, I don't want to put you to a foolish test with the thing. But if you confirm it, I'll step into it. And God will always confirm what he's doing in your life. Now, I'm not talking about fleecing God. You know, if you send three red Volkswagens by and a bald eagle flies down and pecks me on the ear, then I'll obey you. No. I mean, I'm talking about spiritual confirmation where God gives you clarity and just confirms through different avenues that this is him. Well, went out and I was listening to a Kenneth Copeland tape, popped one in that I hadn't heard before. And one of the first things out of his mouth was, he said, I laid hands on a soda pop and hadn't had one since. And the Lord said, there you go right there. I'm confirming. I don't want you to do that anymore. I hadn't done it in 26 years. Well, I'll take that back. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Okay, so I'm not legalistic. I'm not under that bondage. But although I hold strictly to it, let me explain this. Is this helping you at all? Amen. There's been times where I've sat down to share the gospel with somebody and they've offered me a soda pop. And the Lord said, I want you to drink it as a means to get the gospel into their lives so that they'll accept it. So I've done that. And there's been a time where we were down, this is 1992, 93. We were actually down in Georgia. We was doing an outreach and my mouth was parched. It was hot outside in the 90s. We're doing canvassing. There was no drinks left. And I said, I'm thirsty, Lord. He said, go over to the soda pop and get you a soda pop. I said, you told me not to. He said, and he gave me that scripture that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. He's confirming it with his word. And David and his men went in, ate the holy bread, which is consecrated, which is unlawful for them to eat, yet they remain guiltless. Okay? Are you tracking what I'm saying? Okay, I'm talking about freedom here. So I went to the soda pop machine, got me a soda pop, laid hands on the name of Jesus, and I drank it, and I smiled the whole time. Yes, I did. Enjoyed that soda pop, praise God. But I don't miss it. I mean, it's something that I don't crave it. It's not a factor in my life anymore. It's a personal conviction that I live my life by. You say, was it the caffeine? I don't need caffeine. Caffeine really doesn't, affect me very much. Not at all. No. Caffeine. I'm high strung anyway. I mean, I think, you know, sometimes I've had caffeine and I've went faster than my automobile, I think. You know, so, it wasn't as much that as obedience to the Lord said, don't drink soda pop. So, so it's follow those personal convictions, because what that does, it builds your life up. It makes you what you are. I mean, if you can hear God for your life. Now, I've seen people go out in ministry and they're hearing God for everybody else's life, but they're not hearing God for their life. And they may be following basic general principles from the Word of God, but as far as those personal convictions, let me give you another illustration here. In the life of Abraham, God said, leave your relatives in your country and go to a place that I will show you. You know, so he didn't say that I've already shown you, or I'm going to show you right now. He said, I'm going to show you as you go in your way. A lot of times, information unfolds as you go in your way and you obey God. Obedience is always the first factor. Step out in obedience, obey God, everything else will follow. Amen? The information comes. We as people, I don't know about you, but always like information up front. And that's the way I've been. I'll analyze it. I'll look at all the information up front. And God just doesn't work that way. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. Now, let me just put this out here. When you're faithful in little, he'll give you more, and you can see more further down the road. Amen. You can see further down the road as you're faithful in obeying those little promptings right there. Amen. You obey the promptings. I remember the first time the Lord used me in the gift of prophecy. I'm standing in a full gospel businessmen's meeting, and there's people renowned. I didn't know who they were, but apparently they're renowned just by what the folks were saying around them. And I'm just coming hungry for the word. And I'm standing there, and the gift of prophecy hits me, and I'm like, you hit the wrong person, God. I think it bounced off of one of them, and it hit me. I know you didn't mean to do it, but I'm just trying to help you out here. That needs to go over there and not here, you know. But it didn't leave, and it just got stronger and stronger. I said, dear God, he's going to get me in trouble. I'm around these renowned people. I was like, get one of them to do it, you know. And God was not convinced by my argument. So I said, okay, opened up, let it fly. And three of those folks came up afterwards and they said, we've traveled, been traveling internationally, and we travel consistently internationally. And the word you spoke tonight was the exact word that has been moving around the different places that we've been traveling, same word. And it's just confirmation. A lot of times what God will lead you to do will not only benefit you, but serves as a confirmation for someone else. Amen. Following those personal convictions, following those personal directions in your life, build your life. It makes you strong to hear God. I mean, if we closed our eyes right now, let's go ahead and do that. Let's close your eyes and say, Jesus, I love you. And listen. Let's say that again. Say, Jesus, I love you. Now, he's speaking right back at you. How many of you just heard something back? Amen. Three people will have a salvation altar call for the rest of you after. No, I'm kidding. But how many of you heard, you may not recognize as God, they said, I love you too. Amen. What is that? The Holy Spirit is speaking back to you. You just heard from God. I've taught children that over the years. A child can hear God. You can hear God. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. It's those little things. Pastor Jack was talking earlier about the little things, obeying God, obeying those little things, serving in those little things. Amen. And those little things grow. Jesus said, he who is faithful in little will be ruler over much, right? Faithful in little, ruler over much. Greater things are coming to pass in your life. Next, now, where are we at, Pastor? Okay. The next area is wear your colors. What do I mean by this? Be confident in your uniqueness. Some of us are unique. How do you catch a unique rabbit? Unique up on. Sorry. I got that from Pastor. No, I'm kidding. Uniqueness makes you who you are. And sometimes we feel like, you know, I'm not like this person or that person. You know, You know, you may feel like an oddball. Maybe you are. But, the thing about that, you're unique. God said you're a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, right? To show forth his praises, who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we are unique. We're unique for a purpose. God made us different. Each one of us are different. We are unique. And I always like to say, wear your colors. You know, don't try to, we can pattern ourselves after men and women of God. Amen. We can learn from them. We can learn from their examples. And God wants us to. Amen. Follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen. And if you confess the Lord, call him up. Because somebody got called. So you can learn, you can guide your life by the examples of men and women of God. Amen. Follow that example. But at the same time, recognize you're unique. That's one thing I've always appreciated about Pastor. I mean, he's not cookie cut. And he recognizes, it's evident. You look at the team he's got, you know, no, it's not cookie cut at all. I mean, but we've been places, Pastor and I have been places where, you know, you look at the pastor, his staff and everybody around, they got the same haircut. They wear the same clothes. It's like everybody is like, you could stamp them out. I know where you're from. You know, I know who your pastor is. I know who the minister is that you sit under because it's cookie cut. But see, God's not like that. You know, he's like a kind of like a wildflower arrangement, you know? I mean, everybody wear your colors and be confident in who God's made you to be. And don't worry about, the Bible says, they that compare themselves by themselves are not wise. You know, it's easy to look at the next person and say, well, they're doing this in their ministry, or they're doing that in their ministry. You know, well, that's not you. You know, and you see the great men and women of God of renown through scriptures and in more recent history. And you see people that they're willing to step out and do something nobody did before. I love the story about Catherine Kuhlman. The Lord came to her and he said, told her about the healing ministry. He's leading her into the healing ministry. She said, Lord, get a man to do that. There's plenty of men of God out there. I'm a woman, you know, get a man to do it. And he said, I think it was five men of God that God came to. He said, I've come to five men. None of them would obey me. And thank God she obeyed God, because her mentor, she mentored by and large Benny Hinn. I mean, you think of what Benny Hinn's ministry has, hers paled to his, really. Not in spirit, you understand, but as far as the reach. Amen. And what we're looking for is that uniqueness in you. Bringing out, that's what your gift makes you unique. Our gifting, my gift makes me unique. It makes each one of us unique. What God has placed in us, the deposit he's given in his words, it's apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. Whether it's serving in your capacity in the body of Christ, that gift makes you you. And this is me. You may, or you can take it or leave it. You may agree with this. You may not. But I believe that the motivational gifts are inherent. I believe that you're born with a motivational gift. I don't believe that you get a motivational gift after you got saved. I believe you were born with it. And after you got born again, it's sanctified now for the master's use. Amen. And because you can see people out there, I mean, whether they're a car salesman, and there's like, man, that guy's, he could be a preacher, you know, or he just needs to get saved and sanctified. You know, you see a motivational gift of encouragement, or somebody that's really merciful, or that person that's, you know, they have a great mind for leading and ruling. You just see that. People are made like that. You know, someone once said, some people are born great leaders. Others are made great. And I believe that you were born again a great leader. Amen. And I believe God is leading you into great leadership as well. It's great being here with you. God bless.